on today's Compassion Radio.
I can't tell you the joy that I had in my heart. They reported on January 1st, 2016, marked the end of China's controversial 40-year one-child policy.
Amazing.
And let's just say Hope did a happy dance, because
I'll bet you did.
I've been advocating for that for years.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Celebrating our 74th year of ministry and adventure, this is the daily broadcast journal that highlights the triumphs of God in the world's most difficult places. This is Compassion Radio. We welcome those of you who make an effort to tune in to this daily unique radio broadcast. And to our brand new listeners, we are so encouraged to hear from you. Today, our own Bram Floria is going to check in with a friend to the ministry who has a flair for sharing amazing stories when she puts pen to paper, and in what Bram describes as speaking truth through fiction. It also helps that she brings a very unique perspective as we focus like a laser on this month's November project, seeing what God is doing through His church and through His word in China. Here's Bram Floria to make introductions.
Friends, welcome back to Compassion Radio. Today we have an old friend, the dearest to us, Hope Flinchbaugh. Now, Hope Flinchbaugh is an author extraordinaire. She writes a lot of periodicals and focuses on the issues of the Far Eastern Church, specifically China and North Korea. And over the years, we've shared with you, our listeners, a number of her books because her fiction is just as powerful. In fact, she's working on a fourth episode to a great trilogy we've already highlighted on the program before called Daughter of China. Hope, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. It's good to be here.
It's been a long time, so I want to bring them up to speed on what you've been doing over the past dozen years since the beginning of that Daughter of China series.
Okay, well, for those who hadn't heard the earlier shows, the Daughter of China series includes three novels. All three novels are based on truth of what actually happens inside of China. And in order to do these novels and to write them, I did interviews for the first one. For the second one, I went inside China and met with pastors there who led a 28 million member house church movement, pastors who were actually kidnapped by the Eastern Lightning Cult. And I wrote about that particular issue in my second novel, Across the China Sky. And then the third one, I'll Cross the River, that goes into what happens on the border between North Korea and China. The Tumen River separates the two nations. And I wanted to write about a real-life character who lives inside North Korea, who's starving to death, has a heart-pounding journey from North Korea into China simply because they're hungry, really.
Yeah.
And also I wanted to detail how the Chinese house churches were helping the people in North Korea, and that's going on today as well.
Thanks to your investigative journalism of sorts, we came to understand how intricately woven the relationship is between the church in North Korea and the church in China, that God has paired them up, and that relationship runs deep, so deep, in fact, that people are willing to lay down their lives for their brothers and sisters just across the river. And that's what that book spends a lot of time describing in somewhat gruesome detail, but true. And you speak truthfully in these novels. In fact, you probably speak better through the fiction in that than you could in nonfiction, because it wouldn't even seem plausible to the readers about what's going on there.
Exactly. When you write something for a magazine, and I've written for Christianity Today, for Focus on the Family, for Charisma News, when you write those articles, they go out. It's a one-pop thing. But when you write a book, it's handed usually from person to person, and you loan it out. And the beauty of fiction is that it puts you there, and you also reach a completely different audience. Many people who would never pick up a news report will pick up a book, and the stories grab their hearts. And that's what I was after, really.
And it's the story that grabs God's heart, because He's been sending people to them and inspire thousands of people that have accepted the gospel in China to make an effort to reach out to those who are completely lost and without hope across that border.
That's exactly right. And I think one thing that bears mentioning too, Bram, Christianity in China and in North Korea is not the same as Christianity in America. I think the biggest difference that I've seen, we see them as Christian heroes. They don't see themselves as Christian heroes.
Correct.
They see themselves as people who love God and are reaching out to one another. Most of what happens inside China, especially across that border, it happens in secret. I can tell you that I know personally of four people who were arrested recently by the North Korean government because they were caught bringing good news and food to their brothers and sisters in North Korea. One person died already in prison. One person is up to get out. There are two more who are incarcerated. Pray for them. And I can't give you names. I can't give you details, even what I'm saying. I would love and covet prayer for people. But most of these people are not seeking to have a big name in Christianity. You won't see them on a popular television show. They aren't going for who can collect the most money or whatever. Their hearts are to be hidden, and all their rewards are when they see the face of God in eternity.
It's important for our listeners to capture that important point again, that as we record this program, there are a handful of believers that you know personally that are in prison or facing death or have died because of their faithful witness and compassion and actually living out that faith by reaching out to their brothers and sisters right across the river.
That's exactly right.
What is the chance or likelihood of those people being released?
Very slim. Very slim. Most of the people that I've kept up with that end up incarcerated inside North Korea die. The prisons are horrible. If you imagine an Auschwitz-style prison camp, that's a pretty good picture.
And we're facing winter months now, so this is the season where the death begins, even in earnest.
Exactly, exactly, because the weather's getting colder and the oppression, it's acute. At the same time, these are people who, in their hearts and in their minds, they've already died. They already died to everything. And to an American mind, that sounds maybe strange, but Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said, unless you're willing to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. When I asked the Lord about that one time, I said, what exactly does that mean to take up your cross and follow you? You know, God, speak to my heart. And he did. And here's what I have is that take up the cross of Jesus and to follow him means that you go to a place that you'd rather not go to and you carry a burden that you'd rather not carry. Let me say that again. To pick up the cross and follow Jesus means that you go to a place that you'd rather not go, and you carry a burden that you'd rather not carry. And this is the life of a laid-down believer and lover of Jesus Christ.
And the burden that you're carrying may be the death of you.
Exactly. You know, the Lord sometimes calls you to a place that you think it's not exactly a Hawaii vacation.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to a place that, while maybe someone else is released to go to that place and enjoy it for a season, you're to be here. And that kind of obedience, you live for eternity, and eternity is in your heart. You live completely different, I believe, than someone who is here in the world to live out the next day.
It's fair to say that when we go places that God calls us to go, he says, this is your opportunity to truly pick up your cross. The experience that I know Norman Sherriff had over the past 30 years is that they go places that really are stunningly beautiful. They're really, truly adventures in the sense that we would think of it. But at the same time, there's a huge adventure that is underlying all the others, which is the gospel's penetrating to people in places that it's never gone before. And that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. You know, I remember when my father and I went into China, and I wanted him to go with me. He said, you know, I wouldn't care if I laid down my carcass over there. And I laughed.
Yeah.
I said, really, Dad? And he says, no, I'm prepared to give it all. And it really blessed my heart. And we both went in there with that mindset. The beauty of going in as a short-term missionary is that it is short-term. Some people don't have that advantage. They're there, and they're there for a long season or perhaps for life. And that's the kind of commitment. And again, I don't think God zaps people and tells them, go have a hard life. But he puts a burden until we share the same heart that he has for the people. And when you pick up his cross becomes your concern. His cares become your cares. Destiny becomes your destiny. And you become one with him because you understand him. It's a beautiful thing. You begin to fellowship with him in his sufferings. And that's how we come to know him, you know, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death.
There's nothing about this Christian life you're talking about that guarantees any comfort. It is reasonable to say, in the face of the opportunity of being with Christ being able to perceive his presence with us at any given moment, that really is a beautiful life.
Exactly.
So as tough as it may be for them, they're living something that really is truly full of joy. We're not talking about an endless suffering. We're talking about people who suffer some things and willingly suffer for Christ and suffer the sufferings of Christ. But they're not without joy.
Bram, when you said that, for the first time I thought of this, that it's not really a pathway that you take for comfort, but a pathway you take for companionship.
We trust you're enjoying today's chat between Bram Floria and special guest Hope Flinchbaugh on today's Compassion Radio. And we'll get right back to that discussion after this quick word from Bram, centered around our vital November project.
If we need to go afraid, we still need to go. And there's plenty of places in this world that require courage to go. That's where faith comes in, and our Compassion Radio partners like you make it possible through their faith in action. Compassion Radio has active projects all around the world. This month, we focus on the needs of Christian believers in China. The Christian church in China is under unprecedented attack by the communist government. So, what's our response? Well, when the Chinese church begs for more Bibles to replace the ones lost to their oppressive government, can we rightly tell them no? Of course not. And here's how we're helping Chinese Christians to hold onto hope. Compassion Radio's God's Word for China campaign. We're challenging our partners to give generously to bring the Word of God back to China. A new, well-made Bible placed into the hands of an excited, expectant believer costs only $6. So your gift of $30 can provide 5 Bibles. $60 can provide 10 Bibles. $120 provides 20 brand new Bibles for Christian believers, and so on.
If God is moving in your heart to give and to pray, don't turn away from that. Don't assume that you have tomorrow or the next day or the next month to respond. Give generously, and send a message that Christians in America stand by their brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we care about them. My friend, give and pray. You will help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe even more important than that, you can know that the living Christ will be pleased at what you have done.
We cannot go and pray and dream and do without you. Please stand with us this month as we reach out and work with God's world changers. The number to call with your gift is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. If you missed any part of today's program or would like to share a link with a friend, just click the Today's Broadcast link on our homepage.
That's a good plan. Thanks, Bram. In fact, we have many, many programs archived there on our website, so pop on over and check it out when you get a free minute. Let's get you back now to Bram and guest Hope Flinchbaugh on Compassion Radio.
It's not really a pathway that you take for comfort, but a pathway you take for companionship.
Yeah.
And I never thought of it that way before, but what you said is very good.
This whole adventure for you and how it spread in beautiful ways to capture the power of the gospel in North Korea began in China, and so many things in the past century have. So the story of Daughter of China was what blossomed in your heart. The story of China is huge. God is doing something there and with a number of people that the history of Christianity has never seen before, and is happening in our generations. So we want to celebrate that. And of course, our project at Compassion Radio this month is to help continue equipping the church in China with Bibles, with teaching materials and things that they need to continue the incredible expansion. But it's been a dozen years since the Lord captured your heart with this subject. What's changed in this last decade or so?
I love to talk about this because the main thing that really caught my attention was the one-child policy. And at the time that I learned about the one-child policy, I was actually pregnant with my second child, a daughter. And I saw a commentary by James Robison, which showed babies on a concrete floor in the villages of China. They were just scattered around like so many rugs, and I was appalled to find out that they were put in what they called a dying room, where they were left to die. No bottles, nourishment, certainly no medical care, and no blanket. I mean, they were just left to die, and it broke my heart, and I thought, wow, can that really be true? About a year later, BBC, British Broadcasting Company, also put out a documentary and I'm cleaning the house, and I see this documentary. I was like, wow. And I prayed and I said, oh, Father, somebody needs to do something about that. And he said, why don't you do something about it?
As quick as that.
Just like that. And I'd never even written a book before. At that time, I hadn't even written an article. That would have been 97. So I began to research it, found out indeed it was true. They did have dying rooms in the orphanages, in the state-run orphanages of China. The reason for that and the reason behind that was the one-child policy. Parents were allowed one child, and in China, when you age and you become very elderly, it's the son that is to take care of the parents. And so if a parent is only allowed one child and they find out that they're having a daughter, well, oftentimes that daughter would be abandoned because they had to have that son to take care of them in old age.
So you have complicity of a culture that is very boy-centric.
Exactly.
An official policy which is completely insensitive to human suffering. That coupled together created a monstrosity of a national policy.
Well, it did. It did. And I can't tell you the joy that I had in my heart. BBC, of all people, the ones who reported the dying rooms that I saw, they reported on January 1st, 2016, that day marked the end of China's controversial 40-year one-child policy.
Amazing.
And let's just say Hope did a happy dance because
I'll bet you did.
I've been advocating for that for years. That's a beautiful thing. And you asked, Bram, what changed. I would say another thing that changed, to God be the glory. God's used this book to do so much. The first book I'm talking, and that book is called Daughter of China. People have read it and passed it on. Many, many children have been adopted by American parents after reading that book.
One of the families in our own church have done that very thing. A baby that was named Liberty, and she was rescued from China, and she was one of the hardest cases because she had a heart defect and all kinds of things were conspiring against her. But this family in our own church persisted because they had been made aware over the past few years, and probably as an indirect result of your work, that they had a passion to reach out to find a baby girl in China that nobody else would save.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And she's about 2 years old now. And I got to be one of the first eyes in America to see this baby arrive, and she's now growing fast. She still has challenges, but she's one of these miracle babies where something that should have, even in the West, killed her because of the faithful prayers and the hard work of doctors on two continents was able to save her, and she's still growing.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, just a year ago, I took my mother. She was struggling then with cancer. I took her to a cancer center, and I had her wait for me at the sidewalk with the receptionist of the cancer center, and I said, Mom, wait here. I'll go get the car. And by the time I came back, the receptionist that she was with helped me get my mom in the car, and she said, Hope, your mom tells me that you've written books about China. And I said, yes, and I gave her just a very brief introduction to the novels. And she said, and you wrote the one about the children, and she began to wipe tears away from her face. And I said, you read the book? Daughter of China came out, 2000? That was the very first book in the trilogy. And she said, yes, yes, and she's wiping back tears, and she said, I have my nieces because of that book. She showed me the pictures of her nieces later on, and by this time, they're 12 and 13 years old. I mean, it was so touching to actually be in my little world doing something personal with my mother and to turn around and to see, my goodness, here's someone that I didn't even know, and she had been touched, and her family, really, her family changed. There was a couple that also went over to China, and they're presently taking care of children who have heart defects or birth defects, or in some way, some of them are disabled, and they have a whole orphanage running, and they had read the book and were inspired from that book. So, you know, God has used it, and it's so funny, you know, Bram, because God uses fiction. Fiction is such a powerful tool, and today we can call that historical fiction because it's definitely, you know, a novel based on true events of that time.
It's contemporary history in that it still has echoes that are happening now. And I want to tackle some more of those questions of what's happening in China, what's still a challenge, things that have changed, but we're going to need a little more time to do that. So would you be willing to hang over another program with us?
Sure, okay. I'll be glad to come.
Before we break on this program, though, I want to remind our listeners that if you've been touched by some of these stories, maybe you've read Hope's books over the years, or you know somebody that reached out and adopted a child from China because they were aware of this one-child policy and the numbers of babies that were being abandoned or killed, If you've got a story like that, let us know at Compassion Radio. Just give us a call or write us a letter, and we'll get that contact information to you shortly. In the meantime, though, I want to reiterate that Hope's books are still available on Amazon. So if you have a chance to look up C. Hope Flinchbaugh, that's F-L-I-N-C-H-B-A-U-G-H.
That's right.
All right. And she's on Amazon, and she's still promoting these books. She's still writing. In fact, number 4 in the series will be coming out when, do you think?
I'm working on that.
Okay.
I'm working on several books, to be honest, so that's why it seems like I'm chugging along a little slowly.
Well, we'll pray this one gets resolved quickly, because I know there are probably a number of motivated readers out there that would love to get their hands on it. But in the meantime, Hope, thanks for joining us today on Compassion Radio, and we'll talk to you, hopefully, tomorrow.
Pleasure, Bram.
Bless you.
Good stuff today from Bram Floria and our special guest Hope Flinchbaugh on today's Compassion Radio. It's the first of a 3-part series we've titled China for Better and for Worse. Don't miss part 2 tomorrow. As we wind things down for today, let us turn again to the sage wisdom and counsel of our former president and host, Norm Nelson.
This is Dr. Norm Nelson, and I've got a personal word for you. What exactly is Compassion Radio? Well, you know, I love to answer that question. Compassion Radio is, of course, a thoroughly Christian radio program. But it's also more than a radio program. It is a ministry, a boots-on-the-ground ministry. That is, it serves the spiritual and material needs of people. In carrying out its ministry, it seeks to be obedient to the call of Christ to share His gospel and His compassion with the neediest people in the toughest places on earth. Our travels take us to places like Afghanistan, Burma, Bangladesh, Iran, Iraq, North Korea, Darfur in Sudan. These are the places to which God sends us here at Compassion Radio. And they are the places where your gifts to our compassion projects make such an incredible difference for the cause of Christ. We know that the living Christ Himself is in these places, going before us. His heart is always with the poor, always with the needy, always with the spiritually hungry. My friend, right now, as we approach year's end, we need your financial support. But you know, we depend 100% on listeners like you to carry out our calling. And in a very real sense, this is your ministry. Whatever is done through Compassion Radio is what you make possible. I'm asking you, send your best gift today. It is tax deductible, and Compassion Radio is a member in good standing of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's important because that certification is your guarantee that we meet the highest standards of financial integrity. Thanks so much, my friend, for standing with us here at Compassion Radio.
Friends, together we inherit an incredible legacy and opportunity to support the entire body of Christ around the world. For decades, this ministry has gone to the places where virtually no other ministry or media agency has gone, to bring you the stories of God's victory and the amazing work of His people. Why do we do it? 1, to encourage the faithful in some of the toughest places on earth. And 2, to inspire you to exercise your faith in effective, knowledgeable prayer and through practical help to those that need to see the compassion of Jesus. As we together step into the season of thanks and giving, again, we want to thank you for how you continue to partner with God and Compassion Radio. If it has been a while, would you join us again here in November? A hallmark of this ministry for over 2 decades is our annual God's Word for China project. And November is always the month when we kick off this incredible outreach. It's far and away our most popular project, and it's fairly simple to understand why. The church in China continues to grow at an astonishing rate, around 20,000 a day. That's around 7 million new believers a year in China. Every year, Compassion Radio partners like you play their part in helping supply the booming church with the Bibles they need to train the millions of new converts. We'll send absolutely as many of these Bibles as we can this year as you enable us to. We hope to send thousands and thousands of new Bibles through your above and beyond giving. Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 apiece. How many Bibles would you like to send to the fastest growing church in the world in China? For your support of Compassion Radio and our God's Word for China project this month, we'd love to send you something that will remind you to pray every day for the church in China. We have a new supply of two very special and popular crosses made in China. One is a beautiful dark mahogany tinted wood, and the other is a pewter cross of nails. They can be worn around your neck. You can hang them from the mirror in your car, or you can pin it to your message board at home. Any way you display it, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.